Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning. Yeah, are you glad to be here today? I know I am. Wow, what a powerful time of worship and song. I don't know about you, but it touched my heart. It lifted it from where it was to where it is now, and I'm excited about what God is doing, and not only what He's doing and going to do, but what He's going to do in these moments right now. Because there's some release, there's some healing, there's some letting go, and there's some receiving that needs to happen today. We started a series last week on miracles, and it's called Do You Believe? Do you believe? You believe in miracles. Do you believe that they happen today? We're looking at a God who does miracles. Last week we talked about God's power over the forces of darkness and in deliverance, and how we all at one time or another, or maybe even right now, need to be delivered from something. And it's not always a demon, but maybe it's an influence that we've given into, or maybe something we need to release and let go of before God can do what He wants to do in our lives. June 24th, we're going to talk about a God who has the power to protect, the miracles of protection. July 1st, we're going to wrap it up and look at a God who miraculously provides for His people. How many have been on that end where God, you didn't know how it came, you didn't know why it came, but it came and He provided in the right time? How many of you felt like it was the last second, it was the 11th hour when you got it? I've been there. We've all been there. And we can give God the praise for that. But today what I want to do is talk about something that I believe has the potential to rebuild your faith. And also that we can literally see miracles from God today. I want to talk about a God who does the miracles of healing. How many of you believe that our God has the power to touch a sick body, to a depressed mind, a depressed heart, and heal them right away? How many of you believe that? Absolutely. He has the power, He has the ability, and He's proven that when we look at His word, that He's proven that it can be done. And many of you in here have been personal witness to that in your own life or witnessed it in somebody else's life. In fact, if you just look at all throughout Scripture, the Old Testament, miracle after miracle of healing, New Testament, there's at least 30 different miracles where Jesus healed people of sickness in their body. And it's implied that there are hundreds and hundreds of more miracles of healing. Jesus opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He made the lame to walk. He raised the dead. And if you look at the book of Acts, there was a time when the Apostle Paul was preaching. And it's kind of a funny story. He preached so long, Luke said, that it went on and on and on. Does that feel like me preaching? On and on sometimes, maybe so. But he went on and on into the night. And have any of you ever been bored of a sermon at another church? Okay, good, good. Nobody's been bored of a sermon. You don't want to admit that, do you? But he went on and he went on and on so long that this poor guy named Eutychus, a kid, was sitting in a window, and Eutychus fell asleep in the window and he fell out of the window. He fell out of the window and he died. Now, I know I've put people to sleep, but I hope not with my sermons. But the best of my knowledge, I've never killed anyone with one of my sermons. So I hope that doesn't happen today either. Anyway, this poor boy falls out of the window and he dies. And thankfully, Paul goes down there and he lays hands on him, raised him from the dead. So Paul says, "Woo! I preached a sermon, I killed him, but I have the power to heal him." So he did it. I believe the same power that healed the sick when Jesus walked the earth heals the sick today. And God does it through the faithful prayers, using you as His vessel, as His conduit to lift these people up to Him. Of course, we know that it's not us that heals somebody, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God that does it. And only by his power can someone be healed. And God does it through the faithful prayers of his people. We serve a God to whom all things are possible, a God who can do exceedingly and abundantly more than all we can ask, think, or imagine, according to his power in the church. I want to see God do miracles within and through this local body. I want us to be so postured and so ready that God looks at us and he says, "That look at that clean vessel, look at that willing vessel. I'm going to use them to draw somebody to me." That's why today we're at church praying for miracles from God. Today, this day. Now, you might have been praying for him all this time, that God, please do miracles. But today, church, in this service today, we want God to do miracles in our lives. Some of you are sitting there and you need a miracle. And I don't know what form. We're going to talk about those different forms. And we're going to talk about today what keeps these miracles from happening in our lives. But today, I want you to believe that God can do a work in your life of healing in some way, shape, or form. Not just believers, but followers who truly want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. I shared these scriptures last week, and I wanted to repeat them this week so we know and we have this in our mind during this message series on miracles. I want you to understand, and really, I want you to mark these. It would be great if you would read these every day until this series is over, all the way through July 1st. Make it a point, maybe a discipline, to have these marked in your Bible or on your Bible app and read these. And then, because a lot of times when we repeat something, it gets into us, and then we start believing it. Because you need to believe this. And the scriptures are Matthew 19, 26. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. Because we all have things in our lives that we look at, we say, I can't do that. There's no way that's going to happen. But if God wills it and God wants it, it can happen. Do you believe it? Jeremiah 32, 27. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? That's a rhetorical question. In other words, it's nothing is too hard for God. He can do anything. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, within the body of believers, within the followers of Christ. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. At the beginning of that scripture, it says he is able to do immeasurably more. He doesn't say he always will. He is able. Do we believe he is able? And what I want to talk about today, will we still continue to believe that he is able even if he chooses not to? So many times, and that's where we're going to be, discouragement comes to believers, doubt comes to believers because they believe that God can do it, but why didn't he do it for me? And then we get all selfish and we get all self-centered and say, well, I deserve it. But I want you to understand how God does it, how I believe that God does these miracles, and why at times he chooses not to. How many of you have ever prayed that God would do a miracle and heal someone, and he didn't do it? I've been there. I have been there. Sometimes when you believe God can and he doesn't, it can unsettle you, shake you, rock you. Where is God? God, I knew you would, but why does my son still have migraine headaches? I believe you could, but why does my daughter still face depression all the time? God, we've prayed and we prayed and we prayed, but why did grandma die of cancer? I knew you could, and a lot of people would conclude, well, evidently, God either isn't real or he's not good or he doesn't care. You ever been there? How do we reconcile? What do we do? How do we go before God, and how do we pray if we believe that he can and we know that he has, but he doesn't always do what we know he could do and think he should do? I want to talk today about ways that might answer those questions. At the same time, build your faith in a God who hears our prayers and does miracles. And I guess the question you need to ask yourself before you hear all this and accept it, receive it, is that, are you willing to accept it and receive it? Whatever you say, God. It may be obvious to you in your real life, but it may not be obvious to you just how true this is in Scripture. And I want to give you a key thought today, but we need to understand and embrace this truth. And here it is, that our God heals, but he doesn't heal everyone all the time. Our God heals, but he doesn't heal everyone all the time. You would know that to be true because you said you've prayed for somebody and it didn't happen what you wanted to happen. But a lot of people don't realize that this is incredibly true to people in Scripture, those who faithfully serve Jesus. Let me give you some examples. There's a guy named Trophimus. Trophimus was one of Apostle Paul's friends who accompanied Paul on his third missionary journey. But whenever Trophimus got sick, God apparently didn't heal him. And we read in 2 Timothy, this isn't going to be on the screen because it's short. Listen, he says in 4:20, it says, Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Paul says God not only didn't heal him, but he left him behind. I just kind of left him there, and we went on about our business. God could have, but God didn't. Same with Timothy, who apparently had stomach issues, and Paul told his young protege, in other words, God could have healed him, but God didn't. And then, of course, there's the Apostle Paul, and many of us know this, who the story where he calls in Scripture a thorn in his side or a thorn in his flesh. We don't know for sure what it was, but scholars have guessed many things, bad eyesight, temptation, all sorts of different things have been, you know, thought about. What could that thorn in the flesh be? And maybe that's the purpose that it wasn't revealed because it's so inclusive. We don't know for sure, but we do know that Paul pleaded 3 times to God. And when he pleaded, it wasn't just like 30-minute prayer sessions probably. The word in the original language means like an ongoing, persistent pursuit. God, please take this away. God, please, I could be so much better, God, but please take this away. I could do so much more for you, God. I could be more of a tool and vessel for you, God, but please take this away because I see. But you see, he was seeing with his eyes and not with God's eyes. But isn't it great that he submitted and surrendered anyway? 3 ongoing, passionate, desperate seasons of pleading with God to take away his thorn in the flesh. I know you can. I've seen you do bigger things. Please, God. And God says, no. I could, but I'm not going to. In this case, what I'm going to show you is that my grace is going to be enough for you. Can you believe that? Do you accept that? Remember the question I asked you before? Do you believe it? Do you accept what God is willing to do and what he's not willing to do? And still have faith that he is a good God, a powerful God, and a God that can do the impossible. Our God can. He often does. But when he doesn't, how do we deal with that? Years and years ago, I'm going to share just a quick illustration. A little girl named Kelly Nystrom, bless her little heart. It was back when I first started out in ministry and I was a children's pastor. And this little girl, she was 9 years old, and Kelly had a lot of wrong with her. She had epilepsy. She was mentally incapacitated at times. She had physical disabilities. She had a cleft palate, which deformed her face. And she had many and many and many surgeries. But Kelly got sick, and a lot of these surgeries, I mean, just her body couldn't take it all. And there was a point where she was in the hospital, and the doctors didn't know if she was going to make it. And it still impacts me. And this was 20-some years ago. We surrounded her in that room, and we laid hands on Kelly. And we prayed for her that God would heal her. And she didn't survive. And I was there holding her hand with her mom and her dad when she breathed her last. That little child. And for the person who isn't strong in faith, it brings questions like, okay, God, this is a little child. She loves you. Part of her doesn't know what she's going through. God, why can't she survive? But see, when we believe in God that he can do it and we can accept, we also know that his plan is better than ours. You see, because Kelly is healed. And you see, I said last week that God is more important, is more interested in our holiness than our happiness. He's more concerned with the healing inside of us, in our spirit, in our soul, than he is with our bodies. Sometimes well-meaning Christians can say really hurtful things. You ever been on the end of that from a believer? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Raise your hand. You been on that from a believer? A I'm going to raise my hand on this one. I want to see who's got the courage to do that. How many have been the one to administer the hurtfulness to other believers? We all have at some time or another. Well-meaning Christians that you know well. You know your daughter's sick, and they may say to you, and the reason is because you have sin in your life that she's not healed. If you didn't have sin in your life, then this wouldn't be going on. Or you know you're not praying right, you're doing something wrong. On and on and on and on. And though some of those might be true, because we know that if there is an ongoing sin, an unrepentant sin in our life, then the blessings of receiving from God are limited. And a well-meaning Christian can often heap guilt and condemnation on someone else when God isn't doing what we know he could do and think he should do. And so some people will be so internally hurtful that they literally walk away from God. Or at least they walk away from a fellowship of believers. What do we do with a God that we know can and doesn't always do it? And at the same time, how do we let our faith grow and continue to ask for him for miracles of healing? So let's build a foundation. I want to share three reasons why Jesus did not do miracles when they thought that he should, or maybe we think that he should. He often did, but sometimes he didn't. Why did Jesus not do miracles? Number one reason is that Jesus refused to perform miracles to prove himself. I don't know if you've ever done this. God, just do this one thing for me, God. Just do this. Has anybody ever bartered with God? To say, God, if you do this, then I know it all be better. God, I can be a better Christian. God, I could do more for you. God, if you let me win the lottery, I could give you all the money to the church and we could be in a great place. Believe me, I look at that board on the interstate and I see it and I say, wow, I'm tempted to do that too. Church, God doesn't play like that. He's God and he does what he wants. He refuses to perform miracles to prove himself. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, the Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. What was the motive of their heart in this case? They were trying to test him. They were testing Jesus. They're asking for a sign from heaven. Do something to prove that you really are the Son of God, they said. And Jesus sighed deeply. And I can only imagine saying, you are making me crazy. I'm not going to do tricks for you. He sighed and deeply said, what does this generation ask for? Or why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it. I'm not doing miracles to prove myself. I do miracles that are in line with the heart of God. The number one reason he didn't do it was to prove himself. Number two reason Jesus didn't do miracles, Jesus never performed a miracle that interfered with God's ultimate plan. And this is important, church. He never performed a miracle that interfered with the ultimate overlying big picture plan that God had. I'll show you an example in one story where Jesus chooses to do a miracle in one moment, and a moment later, he withholds a miracle when it's within his power to do it. It's a powerful story. You know the story. Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss on his cheek to show the guards who he was so that they could come and arrest Jesus and take him to the cross. Peter gets ticked, and he gets protective of Jesus. Peter's a good old boy and says, you're not doing that to my Jesus. And just pulled out a sword and he goes for the head of one of the Roman guards. Peter missed the head and got the guard's ear. Good intentions, bad aiming. Cuts the ear off, and so you can imagine, and we read it, and you know, you just kind of read it and you don't think about it. Imagine this guy, blood's coming out of his ear, there's pandemonium, his ear flies off, and you can just sense that Jesus' disappointment in Peter. He goes, Peter, I've got this under control. This isn't what I wanted you to do. And then Jesus kind of like, where's the ear? Somebody find the ear. Imagine they cut off the ear, it flies off and it rolls. Where's the ear? Is it in the bushes? Is it at the feet of the guy? Find the ear. And then Jesus takes it and he does a miracle. He takes it and he puts it back onto the guard's head. He does a miracle. Then he has a teaching moment with Peter and the disciples that were there. He says, watch this. He says, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us? And boom, God would send them. They're here. It would be in an instant. All I have to do is say the word. But if I did, listen to this now. But if I did, if I asked for that, would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now. If I did that, the master plan would be, in one moment he does a miracle, in the other, when it would interfere with God's ultimate plan, he withholds the miracle. He didn't do it to prove himself. He didn't do it that that would have a temporary earthly benefit at the cost of an eternal godly benefit. When it interferes with God's plan. And number three reason that I believe Jesus didn't do miracles when people wanted him to. Jesus didn't do miracles where there was no faith. Where there was no faith. When he went to his hometown, people were not impressed with Jesus. The people that grew up with him, right? You ever go back to your hometown and you've done this great thing and everybody else around there says, well, who, you think you're a big shot now or something like that. And the scripture even says a prophet has no honor in his hometown. I had one of my best friends went into ministry. His name is Mark. He went to a separate college than I went to. And at our home church, there was a youth ministry position open. And he applied for it and they hired him to come in. He was right out of college. Had a horrible experience with the people that watched him grow up, the people that loved him. It burned him out and he left ministry right away. Because they saw was little Mark. Mark doesn't, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what to do. Let us tell you what to do and what you're supposed to do. He didn't have any honor in his own home. Scripture says that he did not do miracles there. Why? Because of their lack of faith. We have to understand that our faith moves the heart of God. Our faith matters to God. When you pray in faith, it touches the heart of God. God hears our prayers. He sees the faith. He sees our heart. Sometimes he wants our actions. Remember we talked about it. Sometimes you have to step out in faith before that gets into motion. Let me give you three examples. There was a woman who couldn't stop bleeding for 12 years. She's embarrassed. She's in pain. She's ceremonially unclean. Jesus walks by faith. By faith, she reaches out and thinks, if I could just touch the edge of his cloak, just touch the end of his garment, I will be healed. She does. He feels the power leave. Whew, I wonder what that was like. It's like, whew, what was that? He looks back and says, what was that? She just believed. And Jesus took her and said, daughter, say this with me, daughter, your faith has made you well. Say that. Daughter, your faith has made you well. A blind man screams and screams out, I can't see you, but I can hear you. I know you're there. Have mercy on me. And Jesus says, go. You're what? You're not on board here. Go, your faith has healed you. Our faith moves the heart of God. And what is so interesting to me is that it's according to Scripture that there's one thing that we have that ever amazes Jesus. We can look at all the Gospels. Jesus was amazed by one thing, but he was also amazed by that same one thing when it didn't happen so much. Our faith amazes Jesus. Sometimes he's amazed like, wow, that was amazing. It was amazing that you don't believe enough is what he was saying. But then he says, wow, there's no other faith I've seen in all of Israel than that kind of faith. That is amazing. Other times he was like, huh, is that all you got for me? Really? You've been walking with me all these years. You've been following all these years. And that's the extent of your faith in me? I've been there many times, and I believe that's what he said to me. Mike, is that all the faith you have in me? When I go ahead and I push forward and I do what I think is supposed to be done, when Jesus probably thought it was supposed to be done, but in his time, he says, is that all? You got to remain in me, and what I have for you, it will come. Let me bring it in the time it's supposed to come. Two different times, Two different extremes. A Roman centurion has his servants that's sick and says, Jesus, I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. You just say the word. You don't even have to see my servant. You don't even have to touch my servant. You don't have to walk in that direction, Lord. I just believe you say a word and he'll be healed. Jesus says the word. He's healed, and the scripture says that Jesus was made amazed and said, I've never seen faith like this before. And in the hometown of Jesus, where he was a prophet with no honor, he looked on and said, I'm amazed that you don't believe that I can do anything. I'm amazed, he said, at their lack of faith. I'm curious when it comes to your faith. If Jesus were amazed by your faith, which amazement would he have? Like, wow, I can't believe that that's all the faith you have. Or would he say, wow, your faith is extreme. Your faith is radical in me, and I can't believe it. I am so proud of you. Maybe even if you just look at the prayers you prayed last week, what'd you ask for? Was it big? Was it God intervening big? Was it prayers that only if God can, that can only be done if God were to intervene? Are those the kind of prayers you have? Or are these little prayers like, well, if the God doesn't show up, I can do it? Or was it like, God, please bless the prayers of, like, God, please bless my food in this day. Thank you, Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, is that all the faith you have? Something that amazed Jesus is powerful, strong faith. Or it's almost like a heart-beating, insulting faith, really. That's all you believe? What do we do if we find that our faith is a little bit on the lower end? What if we're moved like the wow faith rather than the wow faith? The good news is that faith moves God. And Jesus is so encouraging when he said this. If there's a mountain in your life, in other words, if there's something that needs to be moved that is so big that physically it isn't impossible to move for God, but it is for us, God wants to see our faith. And you simply have faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest little seed. Your faith may sometimes be really strong. There may be other times when it's kind of strong. There may be other times when you're struggling and God loves you enough to work with you in the faith that you have. I love the scripture of a dad who is in agony because his son is hurting. To the moms who are here today, you know how to feel your child's pain. But when hurting, when someone comes after your kid, there's nothing that hurts like that. Amen? A parent would know this feeling, and his son is in agony. He's been thrown into a fire by demons, by a demonic influence. And the dad's desperate. He wants to believe that Jesus can help. And he doesn't want to get his hopes up so high, so he just says, Jesus, if you can do anything, please do. You hear it in there? Jesus, if you can do anything, please do. If you care, if you can do anything, please do it, Jesus. And Jesus is kind of like, anything is possible for those who believe. And the father said something that honestly captures where I live so much of the time. If you can do anything, Jesus says, I can do anything. And the father claims, I do believe. Then he says something that I know that I've been in many times. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, but I'm still human. I've seen you do it with other people. I'm kind of reading into this thought. I've seen you do it before, and I think you can do it for my son, but I'm also not sure. If I get my hopes up, but then you don't, it's going to really be difficult. So I do know you can, but I'm still just not sure in this particular case if you want to. And Jesus looks on with a loving understanding of this imperfect faith. I'm doing the best I can, Jesus. Help me in this, he claims. So Pastor Mike, you're a pastor at a church. You pray for someone. If he wasn't healed, does that shake your faith? Does it rattle you? That's a great question. If it was going to rattle me at any time, I would have been rattled when Kelly didn't survive. But it just made us stronger. And it was because the people around had great faith in God, regardless of Kelly living her life on this earth or in heaven. And sometimes we need each other to walk through that, because by ourselves we can get discouraged and say, the devil has his way of influencing us, and ask those questions and believe something that's not true. And it's good to have the church, believers, surrounding you to say,
God is still good. God is still in the healing business. He had a higher purpose for Kelly. Her life was complete on this earth, no matter how old she was. But she's perfect now. I went to the hospital this past week. Tom Bragg, you know Tom, sits down here with his wife Pam, his little hat on, his little walker at times. Tom's got a lot of things wrong in his body. But he was having his gallbladder out this week, and he went in the beginning of the week. So I went. I had a long day, and I had tried to get to see him, but I didn't. I said, I've got to go see Tom. He was having surgery in the morning, and I couldn't be there. So I went to the hospital, and I walked in his room. Pam and Tom's sister were down in the cafeteria. I sat beside Tom, and we had an incredible time together for about 40 minutes. And he so encouraged me. It's because of his faith. He's not hindered. His attitude is not hindered by his physical inabilities. But we prayed for healing. I grabbed my brother's hand, and we prayed for healing in his body. That this gallbladder that was coming out, that it was going to help other parts of his body, and that God would do a miracle in his life. There's a lot of things wrong with Tom. And even if God doesn't do it, and this is the best part, Tom's okay with it. That's a testimony. That's a powerful testimony to me. And I told him before I left, Tom, I said, Tom, you may not be at church, but you're going to be in my message. Because your testimony is what people need to hear. And maybe you have testimonies like that as well in your life. You see, our faith is based on who God is. Our faith isn't based on what God does in the immediate moment to a specific request. Because oftentimes he will do exactly what we're asking him to do, and it kind of shows up and shows off. But other times, in ways that I may not understand, he's like, I'm not going to prove myself right now. Or it may be, you know what, that would be kind of easy for you, but I actually have something eternally higher that's important. So I'm not going to do that right now because there's a bigger picture here to oversee. And different than your ability to understand, I just need you to trust me. And even though it may hurt you now, even though it may grieve you now, even though it may make you question my goodness right now, will you still trust in me? Because of our faith isn't based on what he does in the moment. Our faith is based on what he did on the cross. It doesn't get any better than that, church. A God who becomes one of us sends his son Jesus, his son to shed his blood that our sins would be forgiven. Our faith isn't based on seeing the results to do a miracle. Our faith is based on the character and the goodness of a God who sacrificed his son. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave the ultimate gift. And healing, spiritual healing, comes through the acceptance of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We need to understand that when God sent Jesus, the highest purpose for Jesus coming was not to heal our bodies, but to save our souls. The highest purpose Jesus had was, I'm not saying that he doesn't heal our bodies, but the highest purpose is, I have come that they would have life, they would have it more abundantly. I have come to seek and to save the lost. I didn't come for the righteous, I came for the sinners. I came to give my life as a ransom, he said. His highest purpose isn't to heal our bodies, it's to save our souls. He does heal. It happens today, but not always when we want it to happen. There's a greater purpose. There's a story told in Mark 2 and in Luke 5 about some friends who carried their buddy to be healed by Jesus. They couldn't get to him. You know the story. So there was too big of a crowd. They climbed on the roof. They poked a hole in the roof. It was easier to do than it is now. You need a saw and you need everything else now. All they had to do was pull it away. And they lowered their friend down to Jesus. Jesus saw their faith. He did. But what did he do first? Did he heal that man? No, not right away. He forgave his sins. He forgave his sins. Because Jesus is more concerned about eternity than this physical body on the earth. But then what did he do after that? Said, take up your mat, go walk. And he did. He did the miracle. He didn't do it to show off. He first said he got it in order. And that's what we need to do in our hearts and our minds, get it the priority right. That God's more concerned about your internal healing than he is your physical body. He can, you got to believe it. He may not, and you got to accept it and still call him a good God. I want to tell you about a time, and this was a couple weeks ago. The band can come back up right now. Our leadership, your elders, we gathered here on a Thursday night a couple weeks ago. And we started in the 100 building, and we had our normal conversations that we get together, we meet together. And my heart felt that we needed to come pray. And we came up to this building, and we spent an hour, all five of us. And we had the oil. We had anointing oil with us. And we went through this whole building, church. And we prayed over every seat. Matter of fact, Ray Summer, I think he's down with the kids. He got so excited about it. He went back there in that corner where we have those stairs stacked up. He moved that thing away, and he made him a little staircase, and he got up on top of those rows, and he started praying and laying hands and oil on those chairs about who's going to come. Those chairs are there because nobody's going to sit in them. But his faith says that someone's going to sit in those chairs, right? We prayed, right, that Bernie came up and he rubbed this carpet, he rubbed up here on the stage. We rubbed the speakers for the sound, that no demons would come out of the sound. We rubbed these seats, we did the doorways in the lobby. Whoops. We did the doorways in the lobby, we did the sound booth, we went in the children's area, every doorway. We anointed with oil of the children that would be in there, the leaders that would lead them, the bathrooms. We did that because we want security. We want those who go in there to be safe. We did the food pantry. We did the lobby where the coffee is served. We did the welcome center that visitors would come in and be known and want to be known here and be loved. We did the communion tables that all who would receive, that they not just for salvation, but that you would remember what Jesus did for you daily and it not be in vain. We prayed over the offering basket that we would be faithful in giving what God has called us to give and not shrink back when it gets hard, that we could still be faithful in what God has called us to give and know that He will show up and do a miracle in our lives when it's needed most. Amen? Amen. So here's what I want to do. And I don't know exactly how it's going to go, and that's okay, because God's in control, and I want it to be about Him. This is about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. But you may sit here today, and you may need some prayer for something. You may need a healing. And I want to share, there's maybe a sickness in your body right now. There may be a disease or a sickness or an ailment that you want God to heal. Or maybe it's not in your body, but somebody that you love, it's in their body. Maybe you should stand in the gap for them today. Maybe that's who you're asking a healing prayer for today, is for your friend, someone who you love. Or maybe it's someone who you met that you don't even know, but they need a healing. How great is that for you to lift that up before God, and that person doesn't even know? Maybe you stand for somebody you love today. Let's broaden our prayers just a moment and recognize that God just doesn't heal our bodies, but Scripture says that God heals the brokenhearted. Maybe your heart is broken over something today and you need healing. He binds up the wounds. Maybe you got a wound today that someone administered in your life and you've been letting it get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you need a healing in there. Maybe it's resentment, maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's anger at something, and that wound is getting bigger and bigger, and you need it to close up. You want God to heal that. On a day like this, there are people who have been victims of abuse, of hurt, been lied to about, or perhaps been hurting in some other way, and you need healing from that. You need to be able to let that go in spite of someone coming and saying, "Forgive me." You've got to be okay with that never happening and be right with God in that and let it go. Maybe you need healing for that today. But here's what we're going to do. The band is going to sing through this part of the song and just sing and meditate on it. But then at the end of this, I'm going to stand up here. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray that God would work in your life. And not only that, that you'll be able to accept the work that He is going to do, or if He withholds for a season, and be able to do that too. Sometimes that's the healing in our mind that you got to get on board with. So we're going to do that. But I want you to hear these words. At a part of the song, I'm going to step back up here and I'm going to direct us how we're going to do this, okay? Stand up right now. Let's just worship God. Let the band lead us right now.